Good morning, Wake Up HCC. This is Hoko Live. It's Monday morning. A couple of technical difficulties this morning.
Just a few.
Unfortunately, here at Dragon Digital Radio, that's why we're a few minutes late, and we apologize for that. But how are you doing, Brendan, this morning?
I'm all right. Had a good weekend.
Yeah?
Ready to get back into it, sort of.
Into the weekend?
Yes.
It was a good weekend for me, too. My son had a soccer tournament. I was in Virginia Beach all weekend. I'd never been. It was a very, very, very pretty place. I don't know if you've ever been, but I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was very beautiful. And I wish I had more time, actually, to be able to enjoy the beach itself, although we did get into it and we did have some free time in between games.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. So a very enjoyable weekend. The drive back was beautiful. The drive over, not so much. A lot of traffic. A lot of traffic. And if you are with us on Facebook, you'll see that we have a guest this morning here with us. And his name is Phil Rogowski. And he is the founder and executive director of the Maryland STEM Festival. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. And thank you for joining us this morning here in our studios. And I know that you've been here before. It's not your first time visiting our studio. And I have to say, you have one of the most, at least in my mind, unique events here in Maryland. It's, you know, when we think of festivals, we think of this one-day event, maybe a whole day where you just go to this one location and you find everything there,
maybe
right?
Dress up a little.
Mm-hmm. Right, but this event is very, very different in the fact that it's a full month,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's a multiple locations, like
yes.
many, many different locations. And we're going to talk about all of that in just a minute. But before we get into those details, Phil, I always like to get to know my guests a little bit more and, you know, find out a little more about who you are and your passion, where your mm-hmm. passion comes from, you know, in this case, to put this, because this is a monumental effort to put
you.
This every year. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a Howard County resident. I live very close to the college. And I'm a retired government worker who's always had a passion for STEM. I grew up in the 60s, was very aware of and very interested in the space program, watching all of the Apollo launches and landings. Also a big fan of Jacques Cousteau and the burgeoning environmental movement that was starting in the 60s. So those have been a couple passions and deep interests of mine. And so now I'm able to try to share that with the public and encourage students and families to get more involved.
I love that. And, you know, one thing that if you go to the Maryland STEM Festival website and you look at the definition that you guys have there for STEM, you know, you basically say, yes, it's science, technology, you know, and all of these other subjects that STEM stands for, right? Like this mm-hmm. acronym stands for. But then you go and say something that kind of like really resonated with me, that you say it really, but we really are not just closing it into this, excuse me, into this subjects.
Mm-hmm.
And you say it really encompasses every aspect of life, but we mm-hmm. just don't really think that we're mm-hmm. doing it. And we're kind of having this conversation earlier before
sure.
we went on air, as we were having technical difficulties. And I was trying to figure it out, acting as an engineer. And I told you, you know, the word engineer kind of mm-hmm. intimidates me a little bit. And I've mm-hmm. never thought of myself as such, mm-hmm. right? But in a way, we all are engineers, you know,
mm-hmm.
just
yes.
in different ways, solving problems mm-hmm. every single day. Mm-hmm. So I wanted you to expand on that definition a little bit and just kind of like, you know, share with us your vision mm-hmm. of STEM.
Sure. Well, we look at STEM in the very broadest sense. Some people have a very narrow focus or view of STEM. Only think of engineers and mm-hmm. research scientists and very technical, narrowly focused individuals. But STEM includes all areas of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I like to say is not every area of STEM is for each individual, but for each individual, there's a particular area of STEM that will excite them, they'll interest them, that they can pursue, and that hopefully will lead to a successful career.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And so let's talk about the festival itself, right? Because
mm-hmm.
even though, you know, you just said, you know, we have this very narrow idea of it, and we think that it's only this type of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're expanding that. And I think that the festival itself, you know, the way that it's set up, mm-hmm. kind of is like doing that same vision, mm-hmm. like just spreading yeah. that vision all over Maryland. Mm-hmm. So tell us.
Sure. I mean, the mission is to make STEM accessible and available to all families and all students throughout the state of all backgrounds. We feel that STEM is, as you discussed, an integral part of everyday life. The world's becoming more and more STEM dependent, and people need STEM just to get through their normal day-to-day existence, as well as there are so many positive and career opportunities in STEM. So we're trying to do that, and we feel that everybody should be included in the STEM world, that it, again, it's part of your everyday life. It's not something that people aren't already interacting, which is one thing we try to show in many instances to the students, that you're already doing STEM, you just don't even think of it. For example, we had an event related to STEM and sports, and we called sports applied STEM, because sports is all about geometry and physics and but the kids don't think about that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, going back to my son, I mean, I'm always like, you know, look at that line that he had there. Look at that space. And it's like, he's looking at me like, what line, Mama? Right? Yep. But he sees it, obviously, when he's playing. Mm-hmm. He's seeing it. He's just not thinking of right. it that way. Mm-hmm. So I love that you're encouraging us to do that. Let's go into details of the actual festival itself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because we've kind of said we're spreading it, you know, throughout Maryland, and it's a whole month. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of driven by the community as
yes.
well, right?
Right?
It's not that you dictate and say, okay, we're mm-hmm. going to have this event here, 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 and that's it. It's you're actually partnering with mm-hmm. everyone and welcoming, opening,
yes.
You know, your doors to everybody who would like to mm-hmm. host something STEM-related
yes.
mm-hmm. Throughout this month. So tell us how that partnership works and you know, what you bring to the different organizations and what they can bring to you.
Sure. Well, we spend the entire year reaching out to any organization that's interested in STEM and wants to further increase that interest in the general public. We work with a wide range of organizations, from libraries to schools to universities, parks and recs, museums. Anyone that is interested in expanding the world of STEM is welcome to be a part of the festival. And you talk about the uniqueness of the festival. We feel that we're pretty much the only statewide event or festival that there is, because we're in virtually every county in Baltimore City.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's another festival in Maryland that can say that.
Yeah, absolutely. And just so you guys get an idea, Howard County only has 113 mm-hmm. events scheduled within this month. How do you guys, you know, and then if you go to the website and you look for, there's a link on there that says click here to find an event, mm-hmm. you can search through different counties, so you can kind of mm-hmm. like just, you know, select where you're interested
sure.
in looking for events,
mm-hmm.
And that brings up the whole calendar. When people approach you and they're trying to set up these events and stuff, mm-hmm. is there anything specific that you're looking for?
We are very open. We feel that the hosts know best what they can do and what's going to best appeal their audience. So we don't have a lot of rules. We just want the event to be free, open to the public as much as possible, and STEM-oriented. So we don't try to dictate to somebody, say, do something this way, because it might not be within their resources and their expertise. This year our theme is space and flight, but mm-hmm. we do not require your event to be focused on space and flight. If your event is more oriented towards biology or something of that nature, we want you to do a successful event focusing on biology.
Mm-hmm. And tell us, why did you guys select your theme, space and flight?
Well, it's pretty easy this year. As I mentioned earlier, I'm
yep.
a huge fan of the space program. This year is the 50th anniversary of the Apollo landing. It's also the 60th anniversary of the Goddard Space Flight Center, which some people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a natural to do it, to pick that as our theme this year.
So, you know, I mean, like I said, 113 events just in HOCO, and many, many more mm-hmm. if you search through mm-hmm. the different counties. Tell us some of the highlights of this year, some of the events that
sure.
are coming up that people should definitely, you know, consider going
sure.
to.
Well, as you mentioned, there are over 700 events throughout the state of Maryland. And if you go to our website, you can sort them by a number of criteria. You don't have to go through all 700 events. You can sort it by county, by age group, by topic, and of course, date. So you can focus in on when you want to go to an event, or what topic you're interested in, and narrow it down to say, oh, this interests me, or this should is something my son or daughter likes, and pick that out. Our highest priority, I don't know if priority, visibility event is we're doing a STEM parade at Bowie State University this Saturday. It's, to our knowledge, the first STEM dedicated focus parade, and we're asking people to come and watch the parade. We'll have marching bands and people carrying signs saying how much love STEM and wearing costumes. Mm. We're actually getting a flyover from the Air Force, a helicopter flyover. There'll be a large military presence, and of course, Bowie State will be promoting their strong STEM program. And mm-hmm. that starts at 10 a.m. Love to see people there watching all that we've put together. Another event, being very local, is on October 25th. Howard Community College is doing an event called STEM Trick or Treat, where they're sort of doing a spooky Halloween event that brings in many aspects of STEM.
I love that. You know, one of my neighbors usually, I don't know if he's a teacher. I know that he it's very into music. And so the first year that he did Halloween, he always has this setup. And he always has something STEM related mm-hmm. into his setup mm-hmm. where he has like magic tricks and things like that. But he's always, you know, asking the kids questions mm-hmm. and getting their brains working before he hands out the candy, yeah, right? Sure. So it's like, you know, the connections, like he's put in all of this ingredients together and talking about, you know, how the one interacts with the other and blah, blah, blah. And I think it's great because I never thought that, you know, we could use a holiday like Halloween, yeah. right, mm-hmm. To use STEM. So I think that's mm-hmm. pretty cool to have that event coming up here okay. at Howard Community yeah. College.
There's one other HOCO event I want to discuss, and it's also one of our highest visibility events. Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier that we feel that STEM is very broad-based and that there are a lot of STEM jobs and opportunities that don't require the traditional four-year college degree. College is great for many people, but it's not right for everyone. So we have an initiative we call Blue Collar STEM, and it focuses on jobs that require STEM skills, STEM expertise, again, that don't take the traditional four-year college. These are involved in IT, manufacturing, construction, healthcare, and there's a lot of these jobs. They're very well paying. They are not going filled. So we are doing a conference on November 9th in Laurel, which we are encouraging families, parents, kids to come. There'll be two tracks, one for parents and adults to explain some of these great opportunities, and then a session for students where they'll be sort of seeing some demonstrations and activities in some of these fields.
Hmm. That is very cool. Can we expand a little bit more on that? So you talked about IT. Mm-hmm. Can you give us more specific details and ideas of what type of jobs do not require that four-year track? Because I think we all think that, yeah. you know, To be able to excel mm-hmm. and to be able to continue to mm-hmm. climb up the ladder, mm-hmm. sort of say, sure. You need that four-year yeah. degree.
Well, the first one and maybe the biggest one is programming. You don't have to get a four-year degree in programming to go into IT and programming, even cybersecurity. There are many opportunities in those fields. Healthcare, a lot of aides and technicians, you can go into these positions after a two-year program. And again, these are highly in-demand programs. Construction is a shortage of electricians and plumbers, and these things are not like they used to be. It requires a lot of STEM expertise. You have to understand physics and different and how water moves. Transportation and energy are, again, other areas that you can get into and do very well going through a variety of opportunities of a two-year school such as HCC, a program maybe like Lincoln Tech. There's internships and apprenticeships. So there's a lot of opportunities in these fields for everyone, and they're very accessible, and these jobs are going unfilled, and the employers are desperate for workers in these fields.
You just got to know which door to knock, really.
You have to be aware of them. There's been such an emphasis on college that not everybody's aware of these jobs, and that's the purpose of the conference, is to make people more aware of these great opportunities that are perfect for some people.
Let's remind everybody of the date and the details of that conference,
yes.
please.
The date is November 9th. It is in Laurel. It goes from 9 to 2:15. We have two tracks. You can go to our website and register. The event is free. We do require registration because we want to make sure we don't overfill the event, but we would love to have students and parents of all backgrounds and especially Howard County, but neighboring counties come and learn about these opportunities for themselves and their students. And it's also opportunities for adults who may be thinking about career change, mm-hmm. Who want to advance some ways. Again, these jobs are going unfilled and the employers are desperate for good people.
Do you guys ever put together like an employment fair, you know?
We're not quite at that stage yet because the festival is an organization of one. So I only have so much time and resources, but it's something we thought about, and hopefully down the line we will be able to sort of combine a job fair with this event and maybe other events.
Yeah, I think that that sounds like a perfect match, just waiting to be done, mm-hmm. you know, just waiting to happen.
Yes.
You know, let's talk a little more of the preparation, because you just said it's a one person, you know, effort, really. But it's really, I mean, 700 yeah. events mm-hmm. in a month. It's fantastic. So for somebody who's listening, for somebody who's watching this interview right now, it's like, I really, you know, I missed it this year. Is it too late for them?
It's a bit late to be included now. The festival actually started Friday, mm-hmm. but we'd love to hear from you. We'd love for you to attend events. We'd love to start talking to you. And for next year, you can go to our website, and we have a link. It says click on events. And if you want to hold an event, you just fill out the form. It asks for basic logistics about the event. We do a very preliminary review, make sure it's appropriate for the festival. We've never rejected any event. And if you want to be a host, that's the simplest way. You're welcome to reach out to me. My email address is mdstemfest@gmail.com. I'm always happy to talk to people, love to go out and meet people. Certainly, it's very easy to communicate through email. So if you have any interest in being a part of the festival, please reach out to me.
How has this event evolved from when you first started? How many years have you been at this?
This will be the fifth year in the festival. And the biggest thing is it just keeps growing. More and more people want to be involved. More and more people are aware of it. More and more people are seeing the value of it. The first year, there was about 300 events. We're up to 700 events. Our biggest partners are the libraries. For those of you who don't know, the libraries in Maryland are heavily, heavily involved in STEM. If you're looking for a place to start learning or getting some STEM expertise, knowledge, especially for your children, the libraries is a great place to start. They're still our largest partner, but we are expanding. We're getting a lot more partners and hosts that aren't libraries. And again, it's coming in constantly. And people are still asking to be part of this year's festival.
Now, the libraries, let's talk about that a little bit, because if you're one person, I would think the libraries don't necessarily have all of the resources. So when you're putting together a STEM event at a library, are there partners that are coming and doing that, or how does that
work? Well, actually, that's a little different. The actual hosts do the planning and the operation of the 700 events. I'm involved with about a dozen events that I oversee and operate, the parade being one of them, the Blue Collar STEM being another one. But the actual hosts are responsible for running it. They decide how they want to do it. They use their resources. They plan everything. And, of course, they run the event. So I'm not running 700 events. I like to think I have superpowers, but not quite that much.
I was going to say, I mean, do you divide yourself up?
No, I don't. But, you know, I am in communication. I read what they're doing. Where possible, I try to attend as many events as I can. Mm-hmm. We also promote the events individually as well as promoting the festival globally. And I, throughout the year, promote events, because STEM is not one time a year. STEM is year round. So I'm always trying to event our host events that happen throughout the year, not just during the festival.
So after the festival is done, do you have other things that are happening that people maybe, you know, if they only can go to so many, right? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, we have busy schedules. Let's you know, it's just,
oh, sure.
I was away this weekend, uh-huh. so that kind of like just put me away from everything that was happening in Maryland, right? So if, you know, throughout this month, I can only go to maybe mm-hmm. five or, you know, three, one, mm-hmm. you know, however many, yeah. depending on my schedule. But I want to try to get my kids and my family more involved with STEM. Mm-hmm. And is there other things that happen in between, you know, the festival throughout the year?
There are many STEM activities, and through our social media, we try to promote as many as we can. So if you follow us on social media, you'll hear about events that are going on throughout the year. So that is an additional resource.
So it's not necessarily that you have to host an event. You're just really trying to promote, so that for anybody who's listening and feels like, well, I have my own event and, you know, it would be nice to be able to promote it. I mean, are you open to just putting
absolutely
that information
we don't
out?
Require you to develop something original, something specifically for the festival. We like if you can modify to the festival, but we will include any STEM related event throughout the festival time period.
So if you are somebody in who's in an organization who's already working in STEM, and, you know, I mean, I really feel that we are more powerful when we partner, right,
yes.
with like-minded people, mm-hmm. because then we're all carrying that same message, mm-hmm. and we're all doing the same effort. And I feel many times we're all trying to do the same mm-hmm. thing and just don't even know that we mm-hmm. are, right? So if we can all kind of connect mm-hmm. and help each other, then we really mm-hmm. can put that information out there. So I encourage you. I mean, I reached out to Phil on Wednesday, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and he's here Monday morning with a smiley face. So I think based on that interaction, I can say that it's pretty safe to say that he is a good person to reach out to. And you're going to find good attitude going towards him and just talking to him and having these conversations, which at the end of the day, what we all want is our kids to be more involved and just not necessarily, I mean, we want to inspire them and empower them, mm-hmm. right? And they have then the choice of deciding this mm-hmm. is for me and this mm-hmm. is what I want to do, or maybe this is really not sure. for me, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, as a parent, I try to expose my kids to as many things as possible, mm-hmm. even when they come with the long faces, because mm-hmm. I found many yeah. times that even though they're like, this is not something mm-hmm. I want to do, Mom, this is not something I'm interested in, then they go and realize, oh, okay, this was a little more fun than I actually expected it to be.
And that's an aspect. We try to get our hosts to promote and encourage the fun side of STEM and show kids that it is exciting. A term or a phrase we like to use is we're trying to create a culture of STEM. There are cultures of sports and music mm-hmm. and foods where people think of it as an important part of their everyday life and something they can't live without. And we're trying to create that around STEM so that kids and families see that, hey, I need STEM. I love STEM. I'm doing STEM already and I want to do more.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Where do you see the STEM Festival in the future? What would you, 5 years from now, or what's your, I guess, your goal with it?
The goal is simply to keep growing, to encompass and give as many opportunities we can to reach out to the largest number of kids we can. One of our emphasis is to try to reach out to what's sometimes referred to as the underserved communities, communities that haven't had as much access to STEM, minorities, girls, people with disabilities. We are really trying to reach out to them and find ways to give them more opportunities for STEM because they haven't necessarily had as much. So I just want to see the festival grow. I want to see it something that everybody puts on their calendar every year, that they think, oh, it's this time of year. Let's see which STEM festival events I want to attend. I want it to be just part of the ingrained nature of Marylanders.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating, that you have that clear vision for it to just keep on growing. It's so given of you, mm-hmm. and I think it's wonderful. And then are all of the events free?
Virtually all of the events are free. The only exception is certain nonprofits, such as the zoo and the aquarium, that have to survive on their admissions fee. We don't say you have to waive it. We say you can include your event as part of the admission fee. But other than that, all the events are free.
Okay, that's great. That is absolutely great. Let's just talk about, I know we mentioned the parade, mm-hmm. and I know we mentioned the event here in Howard County mm-hmm. at Community College, mm-hmm. and I know we mentioned the Blue Collar. Is there any other events that we can just put out there for people to really mark their calendars and try to get to? Mm-hmm.
Well, one event I'd like to mention is we did it last year, we're doing it again, a virtual high school cybersecurity competition. It's a statewide event that students can go to a number of locations around the state. They will get up, they'll bring their laptop, they'll log into a website, and they'll be competing against students across the state, gaining experience and testing their interest in cybersecurity, which is a huge industry profession in Maryland. Mm-hmm. So we think that's a really cool event, and the students that win will be recognized at the National Cryptologic Museum in a program which is co-hosted by NSA. So we think that's a really cool event for high schoolers around the state.
How did they register for that?
They register online. If you go to our website, we have a separate page for that, and that's where the registration is for that event.
Is there a date that they need to register by?
The event is on November 2nd, so okay. We're asking for reservation by October 30th.
Okay, perfect. And is this individual? Can they be as a group? Or
we are encouraging or allowing teams of up to four.
Okay.
Last year, a few people did come in and do work out by their own. Most people created a team of three or four people.
Okay. It sounds really exciting.
Yes.
It sounds really great. And so they're going to be connected to the computer, and they're going to be competing on?
They'll be asked a series of questions, have the opportunity to answer a series of questions that was developed by a cybersecurity organization, Parsons, which is also in Howard County. And they'll go to the website and answer as many of the questions they can in their different questions, of course, a little bit different formats, and the teams that do the best to get the most questions answered will be declared the winner. There's small cash prizes, and then there'll be recognition at this event at the Cryptologic Museum.
Sounds very cool. Phil, for you, what is the most exciting thing about STEM?
To me, the most exciting thing is getting people, especially students, excited, and especially students that weren't interested in STEM, that didn't think STEM is for them. Mm. We ran an event on Friday night, opening the festival at a school in Baltimore City. The event we call STEM of Many Colors, and we invited minority STEM professionals come in and talk to these kids and do demonstrations to get them excited about STEM. And the school is a predominantly African-American school. It's maybe even 100% African-American. And the liaison was so excited about how he saw kids who didn't think STEM was for them doing some of these activities and then thinking, well, this is cool. I want to do more.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. We're running out of time here in our program, but if you could just send that one last message to everybody listening or watching, what could you tell them?
To embrace STEM and realize you are already doing STEM. It's not something new. It's not something separate. And STEM is fun. You just sometimes have to look a little bit for the fun aspect, but it is fun. And different things are fun to different people.
I like what you said there. You have to look sometimes for it. So it's not, it's not like when you go to the circus and you know that it's going to be all laughing. Like, this is, STEM is hard work. STEM.
Well, it can be. Right. But again, when you find the area of STEM you like, it's not. It's a joy. It's a love. And it's something you want to keep up and embrace and increase and get more involved in.
So don't be intimidated by it. Just explore it, really. Mm-hmm. Just have an open attitude towards it. I like that. The website where you can find all of the details is marylandstemfestival.org. That's, again, Maryland spelled out STEM, S-T-E-M, festival.org. That's where you can find all of it, all of the information, all of the different events. Again, it started October 11th on Friday, and it goes through November the 10th. If you've listened about any event that you are interested, or if you're like, I like STEM, but I haven't heard anything that really appeals to me yet. There's over 700 events you can choose from. I'm pretty sure that you'll be able to find something there. And like I said, you can sort it by, like Phil was saying, by age, by geographical location,
by topic.
So, there's different opportunities, many, many different opportunities waiting for you this entire month, pretty much, celebration of STEM. So, Phil, thanks so much for coming into our studio.
Thank you very much for having me and giving me the opportunity to let people know more about the festival.
Absolutely. And thank you for putting the festival together. I really appreciate that. It's a great opportunity for all of us, because I do have to admit, I was telling Phil before we went on the air this morning, I was acting as an engineer, as we were having technical difficulties, and I've never thought of myself of that. Like, I'm like, that's a little too smart for me, right? That's what I've said to myself in my head before. And just talking to you today, I realized that maybe I am.
Yes.
Maybe that is something that is inside of me. I've just have not explored it. So.
As humans, we're always curious. We're always solving problems, even though we don't think about it. And another important aspect of the festival is we promote continuous learning, because the way the world is evolving, you can't learn something and just expect not to learn more about it, because everything is changing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I've been empowered by this conversation. Thank you for that. In this 30 minutes, I've thought of myself as an engineer. Never thought it would happen, but here it is. Have a wonderful Monday, everybody. We'll be back on Wednesday. Enjoy today.
See you Wednesday.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.